From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan calls on producers to expedite COVID-19 medicine productions. Lembang Farmers meet Ambassador Suryo Pratomo to explore vegetables export to Singapore. Now the news in details. Deputy Chairman of the COVID-19 Handling and National Economic Recovery Committee, concurrently coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, has called on national pharmaceutical producers to expedite productions of medicine for COVID-19, including remdesivir. In his statement on Sunday, he has called on state-run pharmaceutical firm PT Bio Farma to take immediate measures to start producing the medicine. President Director of PT Bio Farma, Honesty Bashir, said that his company has sought the license to produce the remdesivir. There are two ways for this. First, it is by cooperating with India and conducting a clinical test in collaboration with state-run enterprises. Second, in addition to importing license, PT Bio Farma is conducting research to produce the medicine in the country. Lembang farmers who are members of the Macakal Farmers Group met Indonesian Ambassador to Singapore, Suryo Pratomo, to explore vegetable exports to the neighboring country. This was stated by head of the Macakal Farmer Group, Triana Antri, through a written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Sunday. She explained that this farmer group is not managed by a large corporation but is managed directly by young farmers from Lembang, West Java. Currently, according to Triana Antri, the farmer group she leads have been exporting vegetable of the baby bean Kenya to Singapore in a small capacity. Meanwhile, Indonesian Ambassador to Singapore, Suryo Pratomo, appreciated the Macakal Farmers Group's plan to increase vegetable export to Singapore, but he reminded them to maintain continuity and quality and make attractive packaging for export vegetable products. The Milan Fashion Week Runway Show, or MFW, Emerging Talent Spring Summer 2020-2021 Fashion Show, featuring two young Indonesian fashion designers from the fashion house Makin Couture, Janis Pradipta and Benita Pradipta Setiawan, successfully amazed around 170 invited guests of MFW and the public of Milan, Italy. The MFW activity was held at Palazzo Visconti, Milan, Italy on September 26, 2020. Apart from Makin Indonesia, four other Asian designers appeared in the fashion show, namely Haute Couture Fashion House from Saudi Arabia, Cosel Fashion from Poland, Uriel Sainz from America, and Maya Seifert from Switzerland. By the MFW curator, the art of fashion that was displayed at the peak of the event was generally chosen as the best fashion work. In a press statement received by Voice of Indonesia on Monday, Indonesian Ambassador to Italy Esti Andayani expressed her appreciation and pride because more young Indonesian fashion designers were invited to the fashion exhibitions in the fashion city of Milan. She hoped other young talents to introduce more Indonesian wastra or traditional fabrics to the world, adding that the Indonesian embassy was ready to support the designers in entering the Italian market. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The global death toll from the novel coronavirus passed over 1 million on Sunday. According to an AFP tally using official sources, on Sunday 10:30 p.m. GMT, Monday 6:30 a.m. Singapore time, the disease had claimed 1 million and 9 victims from 33,018.877 recorded infections. The United States has the highest death toll with more than 200,000 fatalities, followed by Brazil, India, Mexico, and Britain. An overnight curfew in Australia's second largest city, Melbourne, will be lifted this week, even as the global coronavirus toll inched towards 1 million dead. In Australia, Victoria Premier Daniel Andrews said that Melbourne residents would be free from Monday to leave their homes for work, exercise, shop for essentials, or provide care after active cases in the state fell below 400 for the first time since June 30. The relaxation of the curfew imposed August 2 comes after 16 new infections and 2 deaths were reported Sunday. People will still be convened to within 5 kilometers of their homes, and fines for breaching other restrictions will be increased to almost $5,000 Australian dollars, or $3,515. Andrews also remarked that several other restrictions, including on religious services and child care centers, will also be lifted. One of the world's oldest conflict, a territorial dispute between Armenia and Azerbaijan, has re-erupted with the heaviest clashes in years. At least 23 people were reported to have been killed on Sunday as the two ex-Soviet republics battled over the Nagorno-Karabakh region. The region is internationally recognized as part of the Azerbaijan but controlled by ethnic Armenians. Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev said on Sunday that he was confident of regaining control over the region. Martial law has been declared amid the violence in some parts of the Azerbaijan, as well as in Armenia and Nagorno-Karabakh. With all referendum votes counted, nearly 62% said they wanted to keep free movement, while 38% were against. Switzerland is not a member of the European Union, but has a series of interdependent treaties with Brussels which allow it to access to Europe's free trade area. The move to rein in immigration was proposed by the Swiss People's Party, SVP, but opposed by the government. A similar initiative to introduce quotas on immigrants from the European Union to Switzerland narrowly passed in a 2014 referendum, damaging Swiss-European Union relations. Swiss people are given a direct say in their own affairs under the country's system of direct democracy. They are regularly invited to vote on various issues in national or regional referendums. Supporters of the anti-free movement plan said it would allow Switzerland to control its borders and select only the immigrants it wants. Opponents argued it would plunk a healthy economy into recession at an uncertain time and deprive hundreds of thousands of Swiss citizens of their freedoms to live and work across Europe. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Encouraging Rural Economy Amid COVID-19 Pandemic. The village in Indonesia, which reaches more than 75,000, should become the backbone of the economy amid the COVID-19 pandemic. To encourage the rural economy, village infrastructure must, of course, continue to be improved by providing cash-intensive stimulus village funds, which are aimed at maintaining productivity. President Joko Widodo, in a limited cabinet meeting on Thursday, emphasized that the crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic should be a momentum to carry out reforms and to plan a grand strategy in a bid to support the economy, especially in the villages. The president asked that all program schemes related to rural social protection nets, such as the Family Hope Program, cash social assistance, village cash transfers, and so on, can run effectively and appropriately. Likewise, with the implementation of cash for work in rural areas, it must be escorted by adhering to health protocols, so it can reduce the burden on rural communities who may lose their jobs or have difficulty finding works amid the COVID-19 pandemic or those from underprivileged circles. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also instructed relevant officials to consolidate the ministry's programs that can improve the village economy. According to President Joko Widodo, each ministry should not run the program independently. They must integrate themselves into program schemes that complement each other, unless the result will not be visible. In addition, each village must also be directed to develop its local potential in order to strengthen the village economic leverage. The president emphasized that villagers must be provided space for participation and creation in advancing the village leading sectors, such as those related to agriculture, village tourism, and craft industries in rural areas. Currently, more than 75% of Indonesia's population is in rural areas. This means that the future of this country should no longer be located in cities but in rural areas, especially in the current pandemic conditions. In the future, the cities should only be a service provider, while the centers of production activities will be in the village. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
Listener, in our regular segment Today in History, we start an event on September 38, 1928, when Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin. Sir Alexander Fleming is a Scottish scientist who discovered penicillin, a type of antibiotic produced by the fungus Penicillium notatum, on September 28, 1928. His discovery can be used to kill many types of bacteria that are harmful to the human body. Along with Ernst Chain and Howard Florey, Fleming received the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 1945. Next event is that in 1945, Indonesia's Railway Day was enacted. After the proclamation of Indonesian independence was announced on August 17, 1945, railway company employees who joined in Angkatan Muda Kereta Api or the Railways Young Force took over the power of railways from Japan. On September 28, 1945, the reading of a statement by Ismail and a number of other members confirmed that from that day, the power of railways was in the hands of the Indonesian people. So that Japan had no rights to interfere in railroad affairs in Indonesia. This is what underlies the enactment of September 28, 1945 as a day of Indonesian railway. We end the segment with the event in 1995 on Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement. On September 28, 1995, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization PLO Yasser Arafat signed the Israeli-Palestinian interim agreement in Washington, D.C., the United States of America. Under this agreement, PLO leaders could return to the occupied territories and the Palestinians gain greater autonomy in the West Bank. Consequently, Israeli existence was recognized and there was no violence in the struggle. However, this agreement was opposed by Hamas and a number of radical Palestinian factions who were ready to carry out an armed struggle, including a suicide bombing in Israel, to liberate Palestine. And listener, that was Today in History.
Semboyan kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Segala aliran dan keyakinan partai atau golongan dengan mengutamakan
RRI. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila. Demi Tuhan
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, in totaling 15 special economic zones open opportunities to attract investors. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto stated that there are 15 special economic zones in Indonesia to attract foreign investors to invest in Indonesia. He said in Jakarta on Thursday that there are opportunities for investment in various industrial fields such as palm oil, rubber, petrochemicals, agriculture, fisheries, manufacturing, logistics, and tourism. Erlangga revealed that currently Indonesia has 15 special economic zones that are operating and open to investment in the manufacturing, tourism, and other sectors. The potential is open to tenants, developers, and infrastructure providers. The government will provide special facilities and incentives, both fiscal and non-fiscal. Fiscal incentives include exemption from corporate income tax for 10 years with a minimum investment value of $6.9 million, 15 years and 20 years with a minimum investment value of $34.5 million and $67 million, respectively. Not only that, the government will also provide tax deductions for each industry, exemption from value-added tax and luxury goods taxes on delivery and service of taxable goods. The government also provides non-fiscal incentive in the forms of no export obligations. Full foreign ownership is permitted, and the negative list is not applied in special economic zones. Also subject to 0% duty rates on products with a minimum of 40% local content for all industries. Non-fiscal incentives are also provided in the form of providing one-stop service by special economic zones administrators. Furthermore, there will be a special treatment for foreign workers in immigration, special acceleration procedures for land certification, usage rights, and building rights for up to 80 years. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener of Radio Republik Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
Begitu indah yang kau buat. atas bumi menjadi teman yang saling melengkapi dirimu. Oh, seperti bintang di malam ini, awan putih di atas bumi dirimu selalu.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener now will present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Keraton Kadaria or Kadaria Palace in West Kalimantan. Stay tuned. Listener, Pontianak is the capital city of West Kalimantan province. The city is known as the city of the equator because it is passed by the equator. Pontianak tourism is supported by the cultural diversity of the Pontianak population. One of the cultural diversities can be seen from the existence of the Kadaria Palace. The Kadaria Palace cannot be separated from the figure of Sayyid Sharif Abdurrahman Al-Qadri, who in his youth had visited various regions in Indonesia and made trading contacts with merchants in various countries. Historically, the Kadaria Palace was built in 1771 AD and was completed in 1778 AD. Shortly after the palace was built, Sayyid Sharif Abdurrahman Al-Qadri was crowned as the first Sultan of the Pontianak Sultanate. During its development, this palace continued to undergo a process of renovation and reconstruction until it became its current form. The structure of the Kadaria Palace building is made of several kinds of selected wood. On the front, center, and front left of the palace, we can see 13 ancient cannons, which are made by the Portuguese and French. A room in the form of a pulpit that juts forward, which was used by the Sultan, was a resting place to enjoy the beautiful views of the Kapuas and Landak rivers. Kadaria Palace still has a fairly complete collection of historical objects such as various jewelry used from generation to generation, ancient objects such as heirlooms and artifacts, glassware, photos of the Sultan's family, and statues. Some private rooms belonging to the royal family are also open to the public, although there are some restrictions when visitors enter. This palace is located near the center of Pontianak City, West Kalimantan. Its location in the city center makes it easy for tourists to visit it. This palace can be accessed by land or river routes. If using the land route, you can use two-wheeled or four-wheeled vehicles, while if you use the river route, you can use a boat or speedboat from Sanghi Airport. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Keraton Kadaria or Kadaria Palace in West Kalimantan. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
Terlihat jelas di matamu, tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku, oh, oh. Hanya hatiku, satu tumbuh seribu kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita, ku kan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, oh, takkan terisi. Hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku.
Bicaralah, oh, oh, yang kau mau.
Hatiku
ini hidupku, oh, oh. Bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupku, bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidup.
Well, listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Menjawab Soal Ujian in English, Answering Exam Questions.
Oke,
Listen to this conversation about menjawab soal ujian in English, answering exam questions.
Maaf, Pak.
Iya? Ada apa, Kevin?
Bagaimana menjawab soal pilihan ganda ini?
Berikan tanda silang di huruf A, B, C, atau D di bawah pilihan jawaban.
Oh, begitu. Terima kasih, Pak.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Bagaimana cara menjawab soal, which means how to answer the questions. Pilihan ganda, which means multiple choice. Tanda silang, which means cross. Jawaban, which means answer. Oh, begitu, which means I see. Like it has been discussed before, the question word bagaimana functions to ask the way or process of an activity. So you have to mention the process or the way about the activity. For example, bagaimana cara mengerjakan soal pilihan ganda ini? Which means, how to complete the multiple choice questions. Kamu bisa memberikan tanda silang pada huruf A, B, C, atau D di awal pilihan jawaban. Kamu bisa memberikan tanda silang pada huruf A, B, C, atau D di awal pilihan jawaban, which means you can put a cross on the letters A, B, C, or D at the beginning of the answer choices to show that you understand the explanation of the way to answer the available questions. You can say oh begitu or baiklah, which means alright. For example, bagaimana cara mengerjakan soal, which means how to do the questions. Berilah tanda silang pada jawaban yang benar, which means put a cross on the right answers. Oh begitu, terima kasih, which means alright, thank you. Well, listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Maaf, Pak.
Iya? Ada apa, Kevin?
Bagaimana menjawab soal pilihan ganda ini?
Berikan tanda silang di huruf A, B, C, atau D di bawah pilihan jawaban.
Oh, begitu. Terima kasih, Pak.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。 evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena ku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Kini ku tak lagi dengannya, sudah tak ada lagi rasa antara aku
jatuh cinta
di hidupku.
Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a Keroncong song entitled Tanah Kerinduan. The song describes about longing on the beauty, peace, and everything about homeland. Homesickness on hometown, family, and also relatives are often perceived by wanderers. However, to remember the beauty of hometown is sometimes able to be life encouragement during staying far away from home and family. Here is Rafika Duri with the Keroncong song Tanah Kerinduan. Enjoy the song.
Padi kuning mengemas hutan dan
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you on the next English program.